Wow, lots to talk about in this version of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, including the Pentagon lifting the ban on women in combat. Leon Panetta, who talked about doing this, this will be his kind of swan song, if you will, for lack of a better way to describe it, is talking about that now this is going to become a reality. We'll get into some specifics here in just a minute, but I think the biggest buzz is something that all of you wanted to talk about. I got a lot of emails on this. Hillary Clinton on the Hill saying she never saw security requests for Benghazi, the Secretary of State. Hillary Clinton finally talking about what happened in Benghazi before the assault that killed Ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans. This has been brewing for a long time, this showdown. It's probably her last appearance on the Hill as America's top diplomat. Once Clinton took full responsibility for the missteps leading to the assault at the consulate that killed Stevens and those others, as I mentioned, but she said she never saw the request for the additional security. She said the specific security requests pertaining to Benghazi were handled by security professionals in the department. I never saw them. I didn't approve them. I didn't deny them. She was so exasperated. At one point, you could hear her voice cracking. She got cracked by a lot of the Republican senators who pulled no punches. Senator Rand Paul at one point slammed Clinton, saying, "With your leaving, you accept culpability for the worst attack since 9/11, adding that if he were president, he would have fired her. Senator John McCain, who has been a Clinton friend, certainly during the Senate days, offered some praise along with complaints and said, "It's wonderful to see you in good health and as combative as ever." He said he still didn't like the explanations for what happened there. So, you know, she went through the rigmarole for 5 hours, went through a timeline of events, and then answered the questions about what they didn't know and what they did know. One person who wasn't in the room in these back-to-back hearings before the Senate and House Foreign Policy panels on the September disaster, really, in Benghazi, was Senator John Kerry. He's supposed to succeed Clinton, and his confirmation hearings are scheduled for Thursday. We'll see what happens there. But obviously, politics played a big role in this one. Fair or foul, how do you think Clinton fared with the guys on the Hill, frankly? Did she leave on a good note, or did she leave with more questions about Benghazi? I think there were a lot of questions that are still left unanswered that infuriate just way too many of us. And, you know, the big thing is, okay, accept responsibility, but to not have all those requests, especially with what was happening in Libya, go all the way up the chain, what are they doing there if that's really true? Isn't the top person supposed to be the person that decides where the money is, ultimately, where it's imparted? If you were the secretary of the division, wouldn't you be the one that's responsible ultimately? Or that there are that many layers that it never gets to her? Makes absolutely no sense to me. And if it is, that shouldn't be moving forward. Speaking of senior types, senior defense officials say Pentagon Chief Leon Panetta is going to remove the military's ban, as I said, on women serving in combat. That'll open hundreds of thousands of frontline spots and potential elite spots, jobs, if you will, after more than a decade at war. I mean, this is groundbreaking. It was recommended by the Joint Chiefs of Staff that they overturn a 94 rule that prohibited women from being assigned to smaller ground combat units. Panetta's decision ultimately will give the military until January 2016 to seek special exemption, so there is an out on this, if they believe any positions must remain closed to women. Closed to women. Isn't that interesting? What is also interesting is the comments like this one from Congressman Tammy Duckworth, a Democrat from Illinois, a former Army helicopter pilot who lost both of her legs fighting in Iraq. She said this is long overdue and said this is a win for our nation. What do you think? Do you think it's a win or do you think it's going to cause a lot of problems? Women make up 14% of the 1.4 million active military personnel. This news, I think, came as kind of a surprise. There wasn't any leaks to the media. And I think the reason is because the focus was on the Secretary of State's testimony on the Benghazi killings. And the focus was there, so this slipped under the radar, which is unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's a massive move. This expands the Pentagon's action of a year ago, opening up 14,000, I'm going to give you the exact number, 14,500 combat positions to women, nearly all of them in the Army. And this also could mean more than 230,000 jobs in Army and Marine infantry units to women, too. So because of what we've been doing with war, women have had jobs as medics, military police, intelligence officers, that kind of stuff, but not formally assigned to units on the front line. So that is a huge difference, to say the least. And oh, by the way, probably the third thing here that I think affects us, that, you know, I keep saying America Tonight is at the crossroads of pretty much everything that we're buzzing about. And what we're buzzing about, besides all of the things that I just mentioned, has to be the fact that, oh, yeah, that whole debt ceiling thing, you know, that's being pushed off. We're lifting it temporarily. Temporarily, we're lifting it for a couple of months. But ultimately, in the spring, we're going to have to answer the question again. Because where are we getting this money from? That also a little bit lost because of the Clinton testimony. So much focus going there. All right, our focus is going to turn in a couple of different directions this hour of America Tonight. You're going to love these conversations, including one with Lisa Lark about the Vietnam Wall. She's written a book about it. Specifically, things that are happening in the future with the wall, what the quest is to do with it in the future, you know, to recognize the vets that are there. And just, you know, the idea of what the Vietnam Wall means to so many of us. I know that I've been to all those war monuments. Just last year I was talking about having been there. And to see people sketching the names is, I'm telling you, really, really something. Then we're also segging into something completely different with our pal, Dr. John McDougall. He talks about how you can eat rice and you can have a starch diet. You can lose weight and be in better shape than ever. And why we're told to avoid starches, it makes absolutely no sense. And we're going to start with an interview on about wind energy. You know, so much was made about the wind breaks, the tax breaks for that because of the amount of electricity that is actually generated by wind energy. And it's so minuscule, really, compared to what the break is. When we're wondering why we have to lift this debt ceiling temporarily, well, it's probably because of doing things like that that don't make any sense. And that's the first thing up. I'm thinking in my mind, driving in Palm Springs and seeing those giant wind towers that were just lined up like soldiers and wondering how much that was benefiting the people there. So stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
It's time for a home security quiz. Answer this. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $35? Yes, it's Fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. It's like a lamp on a timer, but far more convincing. And for only $34.95, Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Young
show about waste and money that's coming out of your pocket and my money. Well, how about the production tax credit when you are totally reliant on it, like wind energy? Hello? So, should it be allowed to expire? We're talking about Congress and the wind subsidy, because can we afford this? All the other things that we're saying that we can't afford, taxpayers, the billions of dollars, why would we worry about this wind subsidy? The people in the business are worried about it, but it's ridiculous that we'd be worried about it and want to pay for it. So we need to rattle some cages and make some noise. Joining us now is Dr. Bonner Cohen. He's a senior fellow of the National Center for Public Policy Research. He just did a whole analysis of this on the wind production tax credit. Dr. Cohen, thanks so much for popping on ATN.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, you compared it to corporate welfare at its worst. Why do you say it's corporate welfare?
Because this is a transfer of wealth from American taxpayers to the wind industry for the sole purpose of propping up that wind industry, an industry that apparently believes it can't survive without a helping hand from the American taxpayers. The wind people have lobbyists roaming Capitol Hill, even as we speak, cajoling, browbeating, pleading, threatening lawmakers to please extend the production tax credit, which is a subsidy, for yet again. Now, this particular subsidy to the wind industry has been in effect for 20 years, since 1992. It has already been extended six times, and now they say, well, let's extend it again, but this will be the last time. But, of course, it's been the last time, the six times before that. So, and what this means is the American taxpayers are subsidizing an industry that accounts for roughly 3% of our electricity, an industry which is intermittent, unreliable, unaffordable, and non-competitive. And it always will be, because Mother Nature, every now and then, decides she's not going to blow any wind. And when there is no wind, the wind industry produces absolutely no energy whatsoever, which means it has to have a backup, which is either natural gas or coal or whatever else there is. And that raises the question, well, why bother with the wind to begin with? Because when the wind doesn't blow, the so-called industry produces absolutely no electricity.
Yeah, and you know, what's interesting is you talk about that 3%, so off the top of my head I'm thinking about this, and you wrote about this too, you give specific numbers on this. How, you know, what happens to a state when they're not, you know, it's not Dallas where there's a lot of wind at times, or the Windy City, or a place in the desert like Palm Springs where they have some wind? What happens in California, of course, what happens when you're in a state where there's not a lot of wind? Are they still have to pay for this, don't they?
That's exactly right, because this subsidy, which is a federal subsidy, is levied across the board. All residents of all 50 states have to pay it. You've raised a very good point, because residents in low wind states, which is most of the southeastern U.S., a huge chunk of the east, and actually most states east of the Mississippi River, we just don't get that much wind. Nevertheless, we are expected to subsidize an industry which is located primarily with, you know, the great wind farms in the Great Plains, in the west, in West Texas, to Dallas, and, you know, west of where you are.
Mm-hmm.
But even there, they're there for the sole reason that they're being subsidized. Believe me, if there were no subsidy, and if you didn't have these state mandates, some states require that a certain percentage of the electricity produced in that state come from renewable sources. What that actually does is it guarantees the wind industry a piece of the action. So in addition to the 29 states that have renewable energy mandates, in addition to that, the wind industry says, oh, yes, but we also need a subsidy. So they want to double dip is what they want to do, and they have been double dipping, and they have been double dipping for a long time. Now, this is a country facing a $16 trillion debt. We can't afford to pass money out to politically favored institutions anymore. It's Washington's crony capitalism. It is live and well. It's an absolute obscenity. And it's time to put an end to this. And Congress has an opportunity now to show whether it's serious about dealing with the debt and it's serious about cleaning up its act, which means putting an end to corporate welfare and crony capitalism, which are endemic to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, and why won't they do this? I mean, doesn't this seem to be a layup, or is it because I might be answering my own question? They have a strong lobby, because this is their bread and butter, $12.2 billion, as you said, six times renewed. I would think there would be a push to get rid of this. I mean, isn't this an obvious layup slice when they talk about
it certainly should be, because it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And now that, in fact, there is a push, I was a participant this morning in a press conference on Capitol Hill, where representatives of grassroots groups and other think tanks got up and said, look, it's time to put an end to this. What was originally introduced as a helping hand has now become part of the business model for the wind industry. They simply expect to get their little shot of cocaine every now and then to keep them on their high. And it's time to cut these people off. And it's not just the American taxpayers who are losing on this. It's also the American ratepayers, because wind is non-competitive, and it simply drives up the cost of electricity. Now, you're calling me from Dallas. Just to the west of you is a city called Fort Worth,
mm-hmm.
which you know quite well.
Yeah.
And people in Fort Worth and Dallas don't like each other, but that's another story. Okay. But beneath the feet of the people living in Fort Worth is a huge amount of natural gas in the Barnett Shale. And we have shale formations all throughout the United States, which it turns out we always knew that we were the Saudi Arabia of coal. Well, it turns out we're also the Saudi Arabia of natural gas, and for that matter, we're also the Saudi Arabia of oil. So here we are in the midst of the shale revolution, which is going to enable the United States to become the cheapest producer of natural gas. We already are the cheapest producer of natural gas in the world, And will it also enable us, we're also the fastest growing oil producer in the world, despite the federal government's best efforts to deny us access to huge amounts of oil reserves. And so if, with all of this natural gas and all of this oil and all of this coal, what in the world are we doing getting American taxpayers' money and lavishing those funds on an industry that cannot stand on its own 2 feet and will never be able to stand on its own 2 feet?
Yeah, and Dr. Cohen, here's the other thing, correct me if I'm wrong. How many people, even if we were the windiest country in the world, how many people could even afford to individually, you know, because some people would have to draw their own power, set up one of these windmills in their backyard? I know of two people in the whole country that I know that can afford it.
You know, you can't do it. So what happens is the wind industry comes in and they give you know, some royalties to people who live out in the out in rural areas where you do have some wind, and those mostly farmers and ranchers, and they derive some money from that in much the same way that they derive money if they have oil or natural gas on their property. We have mineral rights in this country. But here's the big difference. Wind is intermittent, and it's unreliable, and it's unaffordable. It's a completely phony source of energy. When, you know, when wind energy came along, it was the 10th century A.D., and our ancestors abandoned wind for steam power several hundred years ago, and it's been brought back simply because of political fashion. And we are finding out, and the Europeans are finding out, and other people are finding out, you can't rely on wind. Wind is unaffordable. So what in the world are we doing propping up this utterly phony industry? By the way, it's an industry that's environmentally destructive. It's environmentally destructive because hundreds of thousands of birds and bats are killed every year in the blades of these wind turbines that you can see sprouting up all across the United States. And that in and of itself is dreadful. You know, bats may not be the most lovable creatures on the face of the earth. However, they serve a very useful function. They eat insects. And do we really want a country with more insects? I don't think we do, because that's going to help spread diseases to people as well as to crops. So it's an eminently destructive industry, and we have that industry solely because of the corporate welfare that's lavished on that industry from Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Dr. Bonner Cohen, keep applying the pressure. Makes sense to me. I don't see how we can afford $12.2 billion.
We can't, believe me.
Intermittent one. Yeah, we're broke. We know it. Look in your, you know, I always say, what's in your wallet? You know, all we have to do is steal the commercial, and we know. Doc, it's been a pleasure talking to you. We look forward to talking to you in the future.
I'd love to. Thank you very much.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Tatler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there. I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNlive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Who wants to be disease-free, full of energy, and vibrant health? Two reasons you may feel constantly tired and run down could be that your body's acid level is high and your pH level is low. How does acid enter your body? A cup of coffee, a sandwich, tap water, stress, and cell phones. Plus, your own body produces acid on a regular basis. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops alkalize the water you drink and raise your pH level. They promote more oxygen in your system, higher energy potential, and many other documented health benefits. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops is the least expensive and the best pH level product you can buy. Order AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. That's 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health with pH Drops from AlkaVision.com.
All the monuments in Washington, D.C., folks, and I've been to a bunch of them. In fact, last year I was just there once again. And having grown up in Philadelphia, we always took field trips to Washington. I can remember the first time that I saw the Vietnam Wall. Do you remember all the hubbub when it first came out? And now you go and you see hubbub in a good way. I mean, when you go to the Vietnam Memorial, the Veterans Memorial, it just makes the hair, I think, on your arm stand up and you get goosebumps. Because it seems every time I'm there, I know that I'm probably looking at a family member. I see flowers that are left, notes, and the scratching over the names, putting a piece of paper and scratching over the names. And perhaps that's why I have that reaction. But I think that of all the wars that we've fought, and so many of you have called who did fight in the Vietnam War, and you tell your stories, especially when it's Veterans Day or other times when we're talking about what's happening with veterans of all wars. And it's just, some of the stories are just so poignant, and you just can't do enough to remember what the people did and their contributions and the people that never came back from that war. So Lisa Lark has written a terrific book. It's a coffee table book with amazing pictures and stories. It's called All They Left Behind, Legacies of the Men and the Women on the Wall. And this is in commemoration of the 30th anniversary of the wall. Lisa, thanks for popping on ATN this new year, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you as well, Kate. Thanks for having me on to talk about the book and the wall and the veterans of the Vietnam War.
Tell everybody what it was that sent you, that was the driving force behind you putting this book together.
Well, I'm a high school English teacher as my day job, and the high school where I teach in Dearborn, Michigan, lost 23 men during the Vietnam era. And every spring we hold a Memorial Day service for those men, and my involvement in this project just evolved from a student asking me a question, wanting to know more about some of these men from Edsel Ford High School who died. I started researching, and that led me to a great program that the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund has called the Call for Photos Project. And what we want to do is get a photograph for all 58,282 names on the wall. And from there, the photographs led me to some of these, amazing stories of heroism and bravery and sacrifice. And once we started telling them, they just kept coming.
And so with the pictures that are being collected, because, that's so many, and you think of all the names on the wall, ultimately, what is the goal of with the photographs?
Well, primarily, the first step is they'll be used on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund website, and you can go to that website, search the wall for a name of a soldier from your hometown, from your high school. Just see if someone has the same name as you do. And instead of just coming up with that person's name, you'll be able to see their photograph.
Oh, great.
So we're putting a face with the name of every name that's on the wall.
Yeah.
So that's the first step. But eventually the photographs will be used at the forthcoming education center at the wall. And that way, when the first generation of Vietnam veterans and their families grow old and unfortunately pass on, we'll be able to leave these legacies, these photographs, and these stories for future generations.
Yeah. What I love about the book is you have their name, and it looks like it was scratched, and then you tell their rank and their date of birth and when they died and how they died. There's a little thing about that, but also the personal stories, as you said, and where you can find their name. Like you say, panel 23W, row 112, and if you were looking there, that would be First Lieutenant in the Army, Sharon A. Lane, and reading her story, she was killed by a rocket attack. And, you know, reading the things that she did while she was there, what she did, the countless hours that she put in, and how many people were suffering and how many people that she treated. It's just a great, great story, somebody that you introduced us to. You introduced us to a whole bunch of people for a lot of different reasons. How did you, when you were narrowing everything down, you were looking through these stories and you talked about the connection to Michigan, were you, I don't want to say surprised, but they say that there's so much more behind the name. There's so much more life to that story. As you started to do the research for it, did you find that it just kind of poured out while you were doing that?
Oh, absolutely. When we started this process, you know, my roots are in Dearborn, Michigan, so there is a section on the book about my Dearborn boys, and I obviously became very, very close to those stories. Those were the first ones I researched, and obviously I have the most detail because they walk the streets that I walk, and they attended the school that I teach at. And so for me, that was a very powerful segment. To feel those connections. And that's the hope with having soldiers, as you can tell from the book, from across the country. We have James Gabriel from Hawaii, and then we go all the way across the country. We have Eugene Self from New Jersey. We even have Paul Wolos from Canada. So hopefully these people will see them as more than just names, as more than just these names carved in that granite. And learn who they were. I mean, these were fathers and sons and daughters. You know, a lot of people overlook the eight women on the wall, as you mentioned, Sharon Lane, but there are seven others. And once you start digging into these men's stories, it just becomes this amazing connection, because for many people, they lived through it. But for those of us that didn't, it creates this connection. And when I work with my students, that's what they're so drawn by. Oh, I was on the swim team. I'm in the school plays. And we've even found students in our school that are related to some of the men that we celebrated our memorial service that we didn't even realize.
Wow, isn't that terrific? Well, as you do this, and or as you put this together, was there had to be a couple stories that really just touched you. What's your favorite story in the whole book? Do you have a favorite story?
Oh, that's hard to say. I mean, you come so to know these men and women so well, and to forge these just deep connections. But there's two that really sort of touched me, you know, perhaps a little bit more deeply than others. There's one story in the book about Charles Meek, a Lance Corporal from Michigan, and he's actually a young man that lived down the street from my mother when they were growing up and attended high school with her in St. Clair Shores, Michigan. And so Chuck was really the first person that I knew. Obviously, I didn't know him. He was sadly gone before I was born. But I learned of his story growing up. You know, when my family traveled to the wall, you know, as you mentioned, you go there and you see these names. And that was the name that I looked for. And so once I was able to dig more deeply into Chuck's story, you know, it was able to bring, you know, me much closer to him. But it also was able to, you know, give my mother some closure to learn more about this man that she knew for such a long time, but simply only knew that he went to Vietnam and, you know, sadly didn't come home. So that was a very powerful experience. And then secondly would be the story from a little further back in the book of David Land and Ralph Bickford from Wichita, Kansas. They were two best friends that were absolutely inseparable. David was outgoing and gregarious, and Ralph was much more serious and shy. And David joined the Navy, and Ralph joined the Army National Guard. And, you know, Ralph came down with this illness, and David went and took care of him. And, you know, the families were very close. And David, unfortunately, was killed in Vietnam on January 14th of 1969, and Ralph lost his life about 9 weeks later. Ralph was buried on David's birthday, and his body came home from Vietnam on Ralph's birthday, and there's a beautiful photograph in the book. The two of them are buried side by side in Kansas. Their families chose to have them buried together, and their story of friendship is just one that I think is so emblematic of these men.
You know, Lisa, what did you say? You're right, and that story is one of the, I would have picked that story out too as I was going through the book, that because of the, as you say, because of the bosom buddy deal that they had, obviously, and how sad, I mean, how tragic it was, but the fact that they were there for each other, even, you could say, even in death, it was very, very, very touching. When you, once you finished this book, I can imagine there was a lot of reactions from some of the families. What did some of the families say to you about the book?
Well, the families have been overwhelmingly positive. I've received some wonderful notes. I actually just returned from Wichita, where we had a reading from the section on David and Ralph at a great bookstore, Watermark Books, in Wichita, Kansas. And David's father was there. His brother and sister were there. Ralph's sister was there, as well as people who knew them growing up. And it's just, the response has just been overwhelming. For so long, Vietnam veterans were not welcome homed as they should have been. And this has been a chance for families to tell the stories of these men and women that they loved so much and, you know, sort of shout from the rooftops that, you know, these were amazing, wonderful, inspiring people that would have gone on to live wondrous lives. And, you know, we're all sort of worse for it because they weren't able to grow into adulthood.
Yeah, what a perfect note to end this interview on. And like I said, I can't tell you folks listening enough about this book. It's just so terrific, and the way Lisa summed it up, for far too long, Vietnam veterans were forgotten by way too many people. All They Left Behind, Legacies of the Men and the Women on the Wall. If people want to get a copy of the book, Lisa, how can they do that?
The best way to do it is go to the MT Publishing website, which is www.mtpublishing.com, or you can go to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund website at vvmf.org. We also want to encourage your listeners that if they have any photographs of friends or family members that were lost in Vietnam, please get in touch with us. Get in touch with me personally. We'll make sure that those photographs get up onto the website, and then we can use them in the education center so that all of these men and women can be remembered.
Yep, excellent. Lisa, thanks a lot, and I hope a lot of people go and read that book and know more about the stories of the people that they see on the wall when they go and look at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial there in Washington, D.C. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you very much, Kate. I appreciate it.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on freeze-dried foods, and choose our 12-month, 6 month, 3 month, 1 month, or 7 day Mountain House survival bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
My name is Stephen Hewer. After 22 years of nutritional counseling, I've observed that most brain malfunctions have at their roots some form of toxicity and brain damage. So whether it is poor memory, poor focus, lack of creative thinking, or more serious matters like inability to focus, speak normally, or remember things, the emphasis to getting one's brain working optimally needs to be on detoxification. One World Way supports your body's number one means of detoxification, which is glutathione production.
My name is Angie, and my son has suffered from borderline autism and constipation. I got him on One World Way, and in 2 months, his constipation is gone. He has become friendlier. He can carry on a normal conversation with me, and he has made his first friend. He's doing great, and he looks forward to taking One World Way every day. You could offer him a present or a cake, and he would prefer the One World Way.
Go to OneWorldWay.com. That's OneWorld, W-H-E-Y.com. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Walks further down the street, ooh, way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of speech. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip. The sound of the beat, yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one down, and another one down.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. As promised, you know, it's a new year. You notice if you drive by the gyms, more people seem to be working out because the parking lot is full. The one thing that so many people do, and I am guilty of doing this as well, is thinking, oh, I cannot eat carbs. I can't eat carbs, and I'm craving it. Oh, if I could just have some potato, if I could have some rice, wouldn't it be great? But that, no, I can't eat that. Well, let's dispel that myth with the New York Times bestselling author, Dr. John McDougall. Love this guy. He's the author of The Starch Solution. We talked to him a while ago and had a great conversation about these very things. And a lot of you sent me emails saying, you mean I can eat carbs? I was trying to starve myself away from carbs. Dr. McDougall, thanks so much for coming back on the show.
Well, thank you. It's sort of unnatural, like trying to not breathe or trying to be thirsty and enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, the idea, like you said, you're suffering with by depriving yourself of carbohydrates. You ought to stop and think, is there something wrong here? I mean, if I want to breathe and want to drink water, satisfy thirsty, and I want to eat carbohydrates to satisfy my palate and hunger drive, I mean, where's the disconnect? Did our Creator make this horrible, horrible mistake? The mistake is that the meat and dairy industry won. You know, basically after the revolutions that took place in the 70s and 80s, and I'm talking about the U.S. Dietary Guidelines that were published in 1977, the Surgeon General's Report in 1982, telling Americans they ought to just cut the dairy, cut the meat, increase the fiber, they said, the carbohydrates, the rice, corn, potatoes, green and yellow vegetables, and fruits. They came out with these very strong, strong statements, and the meat and dairy industry didn't take it lightly. They fought back. They convinced people that their products were really, really good. They got some of their spin doctors to talk about how carbohydrates are bad. And here we have a population of growing obesity, starving people who want to eat carbohydrates. And, you know, it's a terrible mess, and I don't see any solution but to get people to stop and look around. And what you see is that all large populations of people throughout all of verifiable human history have lived on starch-based diets, like the Asians who live on rice. Everybody's thin. Heart disease once was unknown. Multiple sclerosis was unknown. I mean, these are hearty, trim, healthy people living mostly on rice, and we can get to the white rice issue if you want in a minute. You look at the Mayans and the Aztecs. Those are known as the people of the corn. The Incas lived on potatoes. The Middle East used to be known as the breadbasket of the world. I mean, it's only when people gave up their source of calories as starch, rice, corn, potatoes, and beans, and instead replace those calories with fat, saturated fat, i.e. meat and dairy and vegetable oils, that we ended up with such serious health problems that, by the way, are unsolvable by exercise. You can't burn off those extra calories.
Yeah, oh, that's so true. I was giving the example before you came on of people I know that just kill themselves working out, and they don't seem to lose very much. Maybe 10 pounds, a little bit, but they won't need to lose much more, and they're killing themselves, pounding it out. And then others who are doing exactly what you say, Doc, by the way, and they're losing weight. They're dropping 30 pounds, 40 pounds, whatever it is.
Well, they're becoming normal size human beings.
Yeah.
There is a diet for people, and that diet has always been starch, continues to be starch. You can't beat the system. It's been around for, you know, maybe 4 million years. You're just plain and simple not going to beat it. And, you know, it's not just the fat. The people around us, they're oily. They've got greasy skin, greasy hair. They've got blackheads and whiteheads and pimples. Let me give you an analogy. It'd be like taking your kitty cat. And by the way, my cat Einstein is sitting right next to me on the couch. Let's just say I took Einstein, my kitty cat, and I decided that I wanted him to eat potatoes. And let's just say I got real rough with Einstein, and I took a nasogastric tube, and I stuck it into his stomach, and I force-fed him potatoes for, say, a week or two. What do you think my cat would look like or feel like? He'd remain sick until I took him off the wrong food, i.e. potatoes in this case, and put them back on the meat which a carnivore needs to eat. It's the same thing with people. Your listening audience is sick, and the only way they're going to fix it is by fixing the problem. It's the food. You are a starch eater, a starchivore. Your diet is based on rice, corn, potatoes, green and yellow vegetables. You have to minimize the rich foods, or you're going to stay fat and sick. Now, some of your listeners don't care. I realize that. But a lot of people out there with good lives, good spouses, kids, you know, really get a kick out of life, enjoy running and swimming and just having fun and looking good, they want to know this.
Yeah, they want to know the truth. Tell us about, because this happens when you go into a lot of restaurants, especially Thai restaurants, Chinese restaurants.
Okay.
Do you want, think of people go to P.F. Chang's, do you want white or brown rice? And what is the answer to that?
Well, brown would be best. And I get a lot of criticism for this, by the way, because I don't take a real strong stand on white rice. Definitely brown is better. I was a doctor in Hawaii for many years, 15 years, actually. And my population was largely Asian and Filipino. And people would come to me and they'd say, they want my dietary advice. And I'd say, well, you got to eat brown rice. They'd say, hey, doc, I am not eating brown rice. It's a social issue. Peasants, poor people eat brown rice. I'm only going to eat white rice like refined people. And it was a battle I decided to either win or lose right there. And my answer was, okay, just eat the white rice. I mean, there are 1.73 billion Asians that are trim, avoid heart disease, prostate cancer, breast cancer, they live on white rice. So we will make that a deal breaker. So I decided a long time not to fight right there, even though clearly I want to tell you whole grain is better.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the brown rice, too. Once you try it a few times, I think you can, I do, I think you can really, really get into it and get used to it. You know, some people that are listening to this say, well, that's just crazy. Doesn't that turn into fat? What is the confusion over that?
That is the confusion, and it's based on folklore. It has nothing to do with science. I challenge anybody to go to the National Library of Medicine or even just on Google and just search the relationship between carbohydrates and turning those carbohydrates into body fat. It plain and simple doesn't do under normal circumstances. The body will not convert carbohydrate like rice, corn, potatoes, or even white sugar into fat without great effort, and it only does it in small amounts when it does do it. It's a process called de novo lipogenesis. In other words, the new production of fat, de novo lipogenesis, production of fat. The body just plain and simple doesn't do that. Now, cows and pigs do it well. Human beings do not do it well. We burn most excess carbohydrates, even sugar, even white sugar. We burn the excess off as heat and non-athletic movements. This is science. People who say differently are living in a fantasy world. They do not read the science. They don't understand the science. That's why you can look to Asia and see 1.73 billion people living on, you know, white rice, and nobody's fat. No one is fat.
Yeah, boy, that's true. So here's the other thing. A lot of people talk about eating fish. Is fish really super, super good for you, and you should try to get that in your diet?
No, it's not super, super good for you. It's a muscle of an animal. In this case, that muscle wiggles a tail. It's like the muscles that flap wings called birds or chicken. And it's like the muscles that move limbs called pigs or cows. These are muscles. If you switch one muscle, in other words, cow and pig, for another muscle, chicken and fish, you get no improvement in your health. Your cholesterol stays the same. You remain constipated. You continue to have all the same health problems because you made no change at all. All these muscle foods are rich foods. At best, they should be on your Thanksgiving table or your Christmas table. If you're going to feast, in other words, have Thanksgiving and Christmas every lunch and dinner, you're going to look like the royalty and aristocrats of the past who have feasted for every meal. I mean, it's a very simple message, and we get deluded into thinking that switching to fish muscle is good for you. Now, it's not healthy, number one. And number two, since I was a little boy, back in the 1950s, 90% of the fish populations have been wiped out. They're gone. Our oceans are depleted. So if you still believe you need to eat fish, you better hurry up and get it because there's only 10% left. And when they're gone, and it's you know, you can imagine the devastation. It's not health food. The fish are in danger. We have to get the truth out there. It's a really sad situation, environmentally and health-wise.
Yeah, boy, I agree with that for sure. I hope a lot of people pay attention to this interview, Dr. John McDougall. If people want to pick up your book, they can get it. That's in the stores, right? It's Amazon, B&N.
It's in the stores, all the stores. It's on Amazon, of course. It's called The Starch Solution. It's the best I can do for you after 44 years of trying to help people understand the importance of a good diet. Thank you. I really hope you enjoy it.
I hope people are paying attention, Dr. McDougall. Thanks so much.
I've got a great website also, you know, that if people want to look into it, basically everything's free on it. It's drmcdougall.com. And you'll find 500 recipes, instructions to the program. It's really simple. It's drmcdougall.com.
All right, well, check that out. Recipes are a good thing. Then you have no excuse. You know what to do with the food. Thanks, Dr. McDougall.
Hey, it was a pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Looking back on 2012, we ask ourselves, how did we ever survive from natural disasters like Hurricane Sandy and the devastating summer drought to the family hardships brought on by a disastrous economy? Our hearts go out to those that have lost everything. At eFoods Direct, we hear from customers every day that are fortunate enough to weather life's storm by having a supply of food on hand. After Hurricane Sandy, Danny from New York City wrote, "Almost all of the grocery stores are closed, but I managed to get my eFoods just in time to be able to help my my sister and niece. It is better to be prepared 10 years too early than one day too late. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Heed the warnings and do what Alex has done. Call 800-409-5633 today or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and build your food supply. It's the best tasting non-GMO long-term storable food on the planet. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoodsDirect.